Welcome all you lifers out there. It is the brand new title, Two Gloves and a Dub podcast. We are back, episode 11 here. We got the crew again, unfortunately, minus one. We miss you, Mikey. At least most of us do. Lindell said, fuck you, but that's besides the point. So, of course, we got the squad back. We got Tony Clark. We got Lindell, Mr. Belbib DeVoe, and of course, Mr. UFC himself, Alon, not cruising for a bruising himself, and Papa Josh here. So, fellas, man, 252, what a card, right? The upset city, right, at this point, when it comes to probably the two main event fights, right? The co-main and the main event.
I wouldn't call it an upset city.
I mean, underdog,
one of them
right?
was an upset city, yeah.
Well, betting favorites were, you know, they weren't the betting favorites, the guys that won. So,
right.
Even though I think we all knew they both had potential to win.
Right. Everybody in the main and co-main were definitely more than capable.
Did you see the stats? That little stat that they did before the main event, how they stacked up all the different rubber matches over the years and who won the rubber, the third
the person
fight
wins the second
out of those
one.
Trios.
Yeah.
The person who won the second fight won 62% of the time. That's what happened this fight.
It's almost always.
Crazy. You're right. And with that being said, I mean, what was kind of your biggest takeaway from that Stipe DC fight?
DC came in much more in shape this time than he's ever come in. I think he's definitely going to take that champion mindset into the rest of his fights from here on out. He was super, you could tell he took his camp very serious when he came to, and obviously he wanted to defeat DC because that's his rival. But I just think that Stipe is going to look better from here on, I feel like. Because of the seriousness that he took his camp coming into this fight.
Yeah, I thought he looked great. Obviously, like Alon was talking about in the chat, how lean he looked.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's not the same dude that we saw the last two fights. Like, he just looked
any
like,
fight he's never looked, he's literally never looked like that. He never had a full six pack. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. The other takeaway is just, you know, DC. You know, from beginning to if this is the end, you know, he's just high class character, high class fighter. Even you know, in the second fight when he did get caught, it was it. But this fight, it wasn't the same thing. He fought through it, and give DC a lot of credit.
For sure.
What's so funny? What I say?
A lot of sweet to switch to. Don't worry about it.
It's all good.
I want to add on that too because I didn't say anything about DC because I wasn't thinking about it at the time. But DC definitely he goes down as one of the best fighters ever. I know he said himself that he feels like his legacy now will be that he lost to the two best guys in the two divisions that he was in, and I don't feel like he should feel like that because he legit been champion in both weight classes, and at least you defeated the guy at heavyweight. And at least the guy at light heavyweight, you know, has his own, you know, issues behind his, right.
Yeah.
But also has his own issues with like the drugs and all that other stuff.
I think Stipe, like the biggest difference too between this fight and the first time or the first two, was that he was using a lot of his wrestling. Like people don't realize Stipe is a good wrestler. Like he's not 100%. Just a striker. He has great boxing. So he was obviously going to the body, right? You know, we all knew he was going to try and work Daniel's body, which he didn't do it for long. I mean, he had DC in the body a few times.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that he was using, he was using that jab and the straight hand to the body. That was probably the biggest thing that was different. And it kept DC on the outside. And if you notice, like, how every time Stipe would throw any kind of combo to the head, that's when DC was able to counter. Because he does these hangers. Like, he'll, like, if Stipe throws a punch, DC will grab it over, and then he pops you on the way out. Every time Stipe gets hit, it's because it's on the exit. And then Stipe controlled DC with the underhooks on the cage the entire night. Like, DC was just sitting there, just content being with his back on the cage, and he wasn't working to get, you know, to turn DC or Stipe on the cage instead. So he lost a lot of cage control because of that and a lot of time. Like in the fifth round, he really didn't do much. He just let Stipe hold him on the cage. And that's kind of – which it was a smart play on Stipe's part. He was winning that round. He knew he was probably up two, and he, yep. you know, that was the difference probably in the fight. I mean, if anything, maybe Stipe or DC outstruck him, maybe in that fifth round, like maybe like the cleaner shots. Yeah. But the cage control, that definitely that put the nail in the coffin.
Well, and for me, I think like, you know, like my biggest thing was at least with DC, right? You know, he had mentioned how he was going to wrestle. And I know that he mentioned in his fight, in his post-fight interview that he didn't feel he had the opportunities to take him down. But I felt like even if necessarily maybe you weren't getting takedowns, a lot of times I felt like when he was mixing in like that clinch work where he was kind of like changing levels, going down for the legs, but then coming back up and hitting them with some hooks, he was having success, you know. For me, it was like it seemed like he stepped away from that and then he wanted to like straight up strike with this guy. Who's a better striker than him, you know, and has the better reach. And I mean, even the times that you could tell that he was landing, it's crazy because it seems like Stipe was just so better prepared for those looping punches that he knew were coming. You know, the one that caught him in that first round was something he just slipped and got him and he didn't see it coming. And obviously those are always the worst ones. And after that, it just seemed like DC, he got him with some really good shots, but it never really seemed like they hurt as much as I feel like when DC, when Stipe would pop his punches on him, you could see like it was taking some of DC. Obviously, after the second round, too, once he got dropped, he seemed just kind of compromised after that. And then, of course, you get an eye poke, which, you know, obviously it wasn't on purpose, but you get an eye poke.
It was that in there, though. Doesn't
help your cause anymore.
It was deep. And, that was
a
deep
punch. It tore his cornea.
Yeah. And luckily no surgery though, but it definitely fucked him up. And but you were right. I mean, he, you know, once Stipe kind of figured, I think he saw kind of he was diminished and maybe a little bit fatigued, he was able to just control him and pin him up against the fence. And crazy that the guy with the Olympic wrestling background couldn't get his underhooks in, you know, he just couldn't he couldn't get out of that position, unfortunately. But to your point, Tony, man, you know, if the worst case for him is that he is the second best heavyweight in all of just UFC history, let's say, that's a pretty damn good resume to have,
all,
you know?
All time. Top five? All time?
Heavyweight? For sure. Yeah,
for sure.
In general, though. Like,
and light heavyweight.
Excluding, like, the oldest generation, like, top five all time?
Yeah, man.
If you look at these fighters probably nowadays, they're the most well-rounded we've seen ever, right? 100%. And it's only going to get better at this point. Yeah. So, for sure.
Yeah. I also think a big part, too, like you were saying, Josh, like, is that, you know, I think the smaller cage actually did make a difference in their fight. Because if you notice, a lot of times when DC was really getting pieced up and caught in the cage or he was getting hit, especially when he got rocked in the second round, was because he was trying to circle out and he was running into the cage.
Yep.
If it was a bigger cage, he probably would have gotten away from that exchange.
It actually hurt him more being in the small cage. And then whenever Stipe wanted to corral him, you just press him back real quick and then like they're against the cage immediately.
And you're on the cage right there. Yeah, and then, you know, if you notice, like...
No, I was going to say, Stipe being the longer guy, it looked like he was able to just cover more ground immediately. 100%. Like, just cut him off a lot faster, man. It was wild.
And if you notice, like, when he got dropped, he went out. Like, he went out cold for a second. Because, I don't know if you, you know, when he got up and he walked to his corner, right?
Yeah.
He
was still
kind of out of it. He asked Bob Cook.
They said about it.
He said, did I go down?
Yep.
And he was like, no. He's like, there go to no.
And he went down the same way he went down in that first fight. It felt like he'd like just crack, like fell against the cage, all welled out. And I thought it was going to be over, actually.
Luckily, it was a short time, and he was able to wrap his hands around him and keep him tight enough to not.
Not only
not
that, get the finish. Luckily, who was it? Herb Dean, right? Was the ref for their fight? Oh, no.
It was Mark Goddard,
right?
I love Mark.
Thank God that Mark Goddard gave him those 10 or 8 seconds that were left because, I mean, Dominic Cruz said it too. He's like, yo, thank you for not, you know, jumping in. Like, obviously, he grabbed onto his hips and just hugged him and tried to get as close so he couldn't land any more blows. But, I mean, fuck, if there was 20 seconds left or 30 seconds left, It probably would have been a wrap for DC, man. Because
I thought he was gonna stop it.
Oh, I'm scared. I was like,
don't stop it. Don't stop it.
I know. If it wasn't for the fact that DC was able to get a hold of him,
right?
It would have been a wrap because that was literally his saving grace, is that he was able to just get a hold of his hips and just get as close to his body as he could.
Sometimes I see DC get hurt. Like he looks like he got knocked into another dimension. Like I don't think I've ever seen anybody else look like they've, like, literally, if you type in knockout in a dictionary, it's a picture of DC like falling back. Because he just, I don't know if it's the dad bod, I don't know what it is, but man.
And he got caught twice. He got caught when he was standing, yeah, and then on the way down, he got caught with another right, yeah, which you could see his eyes just immediately kind of gloss over.
He just doesn't hide it well when he gets rocked. You know, like, Stipe yeah got rocked.
Stipe got
that first round, right?
There was times where DC hit him, and I was in, like,
round two, like three round, like round three, I think. Mm-hmm. He got hit, and Stipe stepped, like, he closed his stance, like stepped backwards.
Oh,
and like kind of lost his balance. But then he just, you know what Stipe did?
Oh.
He was smart. He walked forward.
He poker faced it. He has a fantastic poker forward face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He, even yeah, if
everybody feels hurt, you can't tell.
Oh no.
I mean, it was wild, right? I mean, we got to we really got to see two amazing champions fight each other. And you know, unfortunately for DC, you know, again, I think after that second round, even though he fought through it, right? He's and that fourth round, I think they were saying, I felt like he had like really one, like he got one round. Like that was my judging. I felt like it wasn't 2-2 to me going into the fifth for me.
I had
felt
2-2. Like,
I had it 2-2.
I had
it close. It was close.
I had it really close, but I thought Stipe was doing enough to just.
What rounds did you have along? 1 and 4? And then 2 and 3 for Stipe?
1. Yeah, 1 and 4 because.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I had.
DC was really like if you count the amount of time that he hit Stipe, which really like stuck in my mind when I watched the press conference before, when he was saying how Stipe doesn't move his head and so it's not hard to hit him. I saw it. I was like, well, shit. I was like, he doesn't move his head. So every single time he would clinch with him and Stipe tries to back out, DC, yeah, boom, double hook on the way out.
Yep.
Hit him with all of them. Like he never, it's like he couldn't miss every time. And he was really tearing him up. Like he was landing some really nice combos, even some really nice jabs, some like little pot jabs, like, you know, and Stipe didn't move his head. Like Stipe was right there for it.
That was another thing too. I felt like he wasn't using his jab enough, and he wasn't mixing it up. Like, literally, you could hear Bob Cook say, mix it up, my man, mix it up. And it seemed like he was just trying to stand and bang with Stipe. And as much as you're hitting that big old granite head of his, you know, you're most likely not going to catch him like you did that first roundabout. You know, I felt like for him to have his final fight, why not wrestle the shit out of this guy? And fuck exactly it, let's say it's even a boring exactly fight, right? Fuck it, it's your last fight, and you won. That's it. You showed your dominance in it. And
do you think he could have hurt his leg with all the leg kicks he was throwing in the earlier rounds, maybe?
I guess. I mean,
just throwing out there the idea.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think so. He just got sucked in, like you were saying earlier. He just got sucked into the striking. You know, and we've seen DC do it before with John Jones and then Stipe, you know, the first two fights, he just gets into a striking battle. DC is probably the best wrestler at heavyweight, and he doesn't use it against the really tough guys that he needs to use it on. He used it on Volkan Ozdemir. He used his wrestling against Gus when he fought Gus.
Yep.
Dan Henderson, he tossed Johnson. Dan Henderson back at 205.
Anthony
Roma Johnson. Why wouldn't you take Stipe into deep waters with the best thing that you have against him? That's the advantage you have against Stipe is your wrestling.
Yeah.
Like he did it early on. You know, he was going for that single and he lifted him up, but then after that he kind of just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was funny to even see Stipe kind of, you know, have some attempts, right? And mix it up himself. And like fake, you know, kind of grab the leg and then go and hit him with like a jab and a right. But yeah, I mean, you know what? kudos, though, to Stipe for sticking to his game plan and executing what he needed to, because it just shows the caliber of fighter that he is, man. He is really the best heavyweight right now, or the best heavyweight ever, and he's going to need to be, right, to beat the likes of Francis Ngannou, who's coming for that belt most likely next, right? He's going to be the guy to fight. And I think the way Dana's most likely going to set it up, if they can figure it out with John Jones, if Stipe ends up beating Francis, most likely John Jones is going to come up and be the second light heavyweight to ever fight, light heavyweight champion to ever fight the heavyweight champion. And they're just going to try to sell those big, big fights. So with that being said, who do you, if when Stipe and Francis inevitably fight again, who do you have in that fight? Do you think Stipe can pull it out?
Stipe again.
Right?
I think Stipe again.
I'll take Stipe, but Francis can knock out anybody. That's just a fact. I feel like if he can catch you, obviously, but he can definitely knock out anybody. So I would take Stipe because I feel like Stipe will fight him smart. Like he adjusted to how he fought DC. You know, the next two times. He'll adjust to how he fought Francis. Even though he beat Francis the first time, he'll obviously want to beat him better the next time. But I'll take Stipe by probably unanimous decision again.
I guess I'm the outliner. I'll take Francis. I think, we said it, you could say about different disciplines, whether it's boxing or MMA, it only takes one shot. And it seems like the shots that people take from Francis, like they just don't get up from it. And I know Stipe beat him already one time, but Francis, I think, is going to come in with a different mindset and get the job done. That's just my opinion. And we'll have another trilogy fight in the heavyweight division.
Two back-to-back trilogy fights. That'd be intense.
That'd be crazy.
You mentioned Tony, right? Stipe doesn't really move his head, which I think in the last time that they fought, Francis connected some good shots on Stipe, which,
in the first round, he clipped him sometimes, for sure.
Granted, though, he never drops, right? Do you think, is there a possibility that, that after this DC fight, that first fight, that, he was able to stand up with DC, but DC clearly does not hit as hard as Francis, right? Do you think that after that knockout, though, that his chin could be possibly compromised in that Francis fight, where if he takes a solid hit, he might not be able to, withstand like he did their first time around?
I mean, I guess everybody's chin's compromised once they get knocked out a little bit, right? Like, just by default, like how your brain would react if you get hit or, you feel that trauma again. It'll make it easier for you to go unconscious to protect yourself kind of scenario. But I don't think so. The shots he was taking from DC this third fight were legit shots.
Yeah.
And he never... And I know we talked about him showing his poker face and stuff like that, but he never, he never fell to his knee or stumbled too hard to where he couldn't fake it, So I think his chin's still there. But again, it just depends on how Francis, I guess, approaches him. And I'll say this, Stipe, he clinched on this fight a lot. I don't think he'd have that same kind of success with Francis against the cage as much as he would have to. I think he would have to take him down and keep trying to make him get back up to tire himself out. I feel like Francis is stronger. He's bigger than Stipe, so the leverage Stipe had over DC when he pressed him against the cage, it's going to be harder for him to circle out because he was so much wider and stuff like that than DC was. Even though DC is a strong guy, he still is a small guy.
Yeah,
and don't forget the cage is smaller, so that could also, just like in this fight, that also can have
if they fight in the impact, apex, yeah,
they can have some impact in that fight as well.
100%.
Word, man. Well. Congrats to DC on a great career. Unfortunately, 100%. It didn't end the way that I'm sure he wanted to. But fuck, now it looks like he'll probably be focusing on training the likes of Corey Anderson right now, who's now in Bellator, and helping him get ready for, whoever he's going
to
be.
Corey Anderson went to AKA?
Well, he's with Mark Henry. DC's been training with Mark Henry. He went to train with him for this fight, actually.
Really?
too a little bit. That. So he's been out there with Eddie Alvarez and some of these guys, and he's I guess he's Corey Anderson actually helped him train for this fight supposedly for Stipe.
I don't know if it helped him honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like he's going to be just going back to his wrestling coaching ways. You know, he does the high school coaching. Yeah. I think for
free. Yeah, for sure.
Amazing. And
he's got a broadcasting crew.
Yeah,
he also left a little caveat open to whereas if he could get a title fight, he would fight again. But he doesn't want to not fight for titles, which is understandable.
And with him saying that, right, I took it as like a sign of respect of knowing he doesn't want to have to go to a war with a guy like Francis Ngannou,
right, 100%,
and deal with the trauma of getting possibly knocked out by a guy like that. Yeah. So. Respect to him. But what's up? So Stipe, right? He's got Francis, maybe John Bones Jones. Do you think he calls it a wrap after he fights those guys if he wins over both of them?
I mean, if he wins over both of them, maybe 100%. Like, there would be nothing he could do that would top those two. Like, if he beat DC twice, Stipe, Francis, and then John Jones, it would be freaking ridiculous.
Yeah. He should be like the most famous UFC fighter out there.
Exactly.
He's a firefighter and the baddest heavyweight on the planet.
Yeah. Actually,
no way.
And not you mention it, right? Now that I think about it, you beat DC twice, who was never beaten in the heavyweight division, right? You beat Francis, who was unbeaten at the time when he beat him before, right? Mm-hmm. Francis was undefeated. Beat him, and then you're able to beat John Jones, who arguably is undefeated as well.
That'd be ridiculous. Yeah.
You know? That's
Stipe in the little bit of the post fight that I was able to catch, he doesn't feel like he's ready to retire though. He feels like he's like raring, like he's like, I'm here now, boy. Like, now that I'm done with this DC shit, it's time for me to start getting the smoke with everybody else. Yep. So he feels like he's still ready to fight. Maybe, who knows? He goes in there, gets into a war, might turn his energy kind of down a bit, but. I know he seems hyped now.
Do you feel that? So I'm the casual guy here since Mikey's not here. I'm the casual guy. Do you feel as though UFC properly promotes Stipe as this larger than life champion? Because I feel like they put a lot of effort into O'Malley, Adesanya, John Jones when he's not on drugs.
They only put the effort into certain people Connor, for sure.
Because
Stipe isn't one of them.
Yeah, I think he definitely deserves some of the attention that they give somebody like Connor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this fight should have been huge last night. I'm sure it did good numbers, but it should have been huge last night. And I just get the sense, I don't hear a lot of people talk. I haven't seen a lot of articles or non-UFC fans really giving this fight, you know, this great fight that it deserves. And that, to me, that's a shame. That's the biggest. That's my biggest overall takeaway, is that it should have probably gotten more praise and attention than it did receive. But
for sure. I mean, I think the selling of the fight, too, really makes the numbers, right? You know, Khabib and Conor were the biggest UFC fight in history. A lot of that was the animosity that they had with each other. John Jones and DC, same thing, a lot of animosity. You know, even Stipe said they tried to sell the fight as best as they could. He even tried to say, like, oh, we're not – I remember listening to one interview. He was like, yeah, you know, it's not like we're going to be friends after this. But, you know, I respect him as a fighter. And afterwards, you know, he's praising him and talking, you know, singing his praises. And a lot of it is, you know, selling the fight. And I just don't think Stipe is the guy to necessarily sell a fight, right? He's just the guy that's going to go in there, do his job, beat your ass, and walk away. And and I know when he was on JRE, you know, Rogan's podcast, how he had talked about kind of Dana – similar to like Tyron Woodley, right, where they just didn't feel the respect maybe from Dana, and maybe that kind of bad blood between them, or that, you know, that relationship just was like, hey, you know, we're not going to promote you as much as we maybe would these other guys. But granted, those other guys that are selling these fights, the Sean O'Malley's of the world, the McGregors, all of them talk a lot of fucking shit, and Colby Covington, a lot of fucking shit, because people want to see them either lose or they want to see them win. And unfortunately for Stipe, he doesn't have that personality. But that's really what I like about him. That's the one thing. That's the one thing I like about him. Even like a guy like Khabib, but Stipe is even on a more humble level than even Khabib, because Khabib will just—it's the Russian in him that
can't help.
But
like,
You know, but he just, he's like, I'm going to smash you. I'm just going to smash him because I'm better.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it, yeah. You know, and Steve just says, yeah, you know, this is who I am. And he kind of keeps very it really blue humble.
Collar. Very blue collar.
But I think now with this DC, I think now gives him the best notoriety in which if when they make that Francis fight happen, you know, granted, I hope that they give him the proper respect when they promote that fight to show that, you know, he is the best heavyweight of all time. Dana said it. So there's no reason why the promotion shouldn't be tailored towards that. And Francis is a hell of a fighter to promote as well. He's got, I mean, he's just blockbuster. So from here on out, I feel like there's definitely going to be more showmanship towards Stipe, I feel. I'm hoping at least. So we'll see.
I want to see him get the same praise as somebody like Khabib gets or Amanda Nunes, stuff like
he
that.
He should
like,
get the same praise as like
he should get that getting. Same kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with O'Malley being mentioned, right? Let's move on to the co-main event. The Sugar Show got canceled, guys. At least for Saturday.
The
show
went down. It's the Cheeto show now, boys.
Shout out to the gentleman. I think he was in Europe that made $190,000 betting on Cheeto, putting $40K down on him. So shout out to you. You are the winner of anybody out here. Might have made
that's crazy.
Might have made just short of what Cheeto probably got. I'm just kidding. I don't know how much he makes, but
he made more than Cheeto, that for sure.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. For Cheeto's sake, I'm hoping he got paid. But what do we think of that fight? Right? I'm sure no one kind of expected that. I was hoping for a 3-round war, and it just ended up being a 1-round TKO. How do we feel about that? What do we think? Sean's going to be able to bounce back from this? We really don't know the injury yet, right? But it doesn't look good. What do we think happens from here for both Cheeto and for Sugar?
Well, I think, you know, early on in the fight, you know, what Sugar Sean's really good at is feigning people. He feints people so hard that they bite on his feints, and that's how he counters on people. That's how he tags people up. That's how he caught Eddie Wineland.
Gotcha.
You know, he feinted the uppercut, straight hand over the top. Well, he was catching Cheeto, you know, early on in the fight. You know, early on in the fight, he was fainting, and Cheeto was biting on everything that he was throwing. He was able to land some spinning back kicks. I think he threw a hook kick one time, didn't land. But, you know, he was definitely winning the first part of that round just because Cheeto hadn't caught up to his timing or to what he was throwing out there. Well, as the fight went on...
You're chopping up a bit, Alon?
You know,
we're losing you a little bit, Alon.
So then she started picking up on it. Wasn't biting you. Can you hear me?
All
right. Yeah, I can hear you a little bit better now.
Yeah, I think we hear you now. Yep.
Nope.
Maybe.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, you're chopping up. That's the issue. Not so much your volume, you're chopping up.
Am I good now?
You sound good.
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. No, what I was saying is, you know, Cheeto was biting on those feints in the beginning of the round. So Sean was landing, you know, and getting his timing off. But as the round went on, Cheeto wasn't biting on those feints anymore. He was starting to figure out the timing. He was figuring out what was real and what wasn't real. And then, you know, he landed that kick to the leg, which could have been the beginning of, you know, the end for Sean. Because he had that first, after he kicked him on that leg, Sean immediately switched stances. So he was southpaw, switched back to ortho, and that's when his leg gave out the first time. And then they kept moving. You know, most of Sean O'Malley's game is moving side to side quick, right? He does like these little shifts and whatnot. Yep. And, you know, when he went to go step forward on one of his little shifts, you know, his foot got caught because it gave out on him, and it was that same right foot.
Oh, and then after that,
you know, he was just fighting off of one leg and trying to survive. And Cheeto, you know, people want to say that, like, Sean just got injured, but Cheeto definitely had a role to play in him getting injured. He hurt Sean and then finished him off with the elbows. And it wasn't like it was a bad stoppage. I saw a lot of people saying that they stopped it too early.
Yeah, I got a lot of messages saying that, too.
He landed a clean elbow. Sean ate that one. Two landed the second elbow, and Sean completely went like this. Like, he fell back, put his hands down and everything after that second elbow, And then Herb Dean stopped it. And then Sean didn't contest it. He was done. He was like, all right. He was like, that was, he's like, I'm done. Save me.
I think Cheeto said that Tim Welch, I think his coach might have said it was an early stoppage. And what sucked was kind of the camera angle, right, that they have was like a weird upper, like over the top, which, you know, like you couldn't really tell. But from what I could have sworn I saw off that second elbow. You mentioned how his hands went down. I could have sworn I saw his eyes go up too, similar to DC where he just – he wasn't there anymore. And you could tell that where Herb was at, he had – full visual of this guy's face. And you got to think about, as a referee, right, you're trying long-term protect this kid. You see that his foot, something happened to this kid's foot. He clearly knows that this guy's already hurt, and he wasn't doing anything off his back that showed that he that leg or that foot wasn't necessarily hindering him anymore, right? He wasn't doing anything off his back. He didn't even try to grab for a clinch to keep him close to him, to stop from him posturing up and dropping those elbows on him. It seemed like he was just, not that he gave up, but that he just wasn't in the fight anymore. And I think once he got caught with those two elbows, Herb saw his eyes and were like, all right, man, there's no reason for this kid to just take unnecessary punishment. And you're right, a lot of people I saw were trying to say it's an early stoppage. It's like, bro, you got to protect the fighter, man. You got to protect the fighter. And ultimately, Cheeto did exactly what he needed to do at that instance. You know, he had, like me and you were talking about in the chat, man, he had the fight IQ to realize that he was compromised with his foot. And you know, once he was on the ground, he allowed him to get on top of him and do what he needed to do to finish that. Because, you know, Cheeto could have waited if he wanted to for the second round to see how he would hold up in that second round standing with them. But, you know, he decided he was going to finish it then. And with those feints that you mentioned too, even if, let's say, Sugar wasn't injured, right, he was going to have to adjust his game plan for what his feints were going to be, because, like you said, Cheeto was not biting anymore. He was not having that anymore. Yeah. And that's why I was so excited to see that fight, because I was hoping that this was going to be his best test and this was going to be the guy that took him to three rounds. And we were really going to see who was the best out of those two. So it's unfortunate that it kind of ended that way. But you saw, hey, man, Cheeto did what he needed to do, made his fucking – made it known that he's a problem for that division. And, you know, we'll see what he gets from here. But it's crazy, right, because it's like that injury is most likely – we were talking about it off air – is most likely going to put him out for like a year if it is that joint that connects from his foot to his ankle. If that's the injury that he's had, that he had in the past too, I believe he was out for like a year the last time he had that injury with his foot.
Did they confirm that was his injury? Or
they haven't, but the podcast that I was listening to with McCarthy, I guess from what his estimation is, he's thinking that it's that joint. I forgot the name of it, but he's thinking that if it is that joint in the foot, they either usually have to put some sort of plates and screws in there, or they have other alternatives, but it's minimum, he was saying, like 7 to 8 months to maybe a year before it's finally healed. And the worst part about that, you know, they mentioned some good points, is that, you know, obviously he's longer, so he likes to use his reach. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is based off his kicks, right? You know, it's his calf kicks, it's his front kick especially. How does that work when that is taken out of your repertoire? How successful are you after that? And I guess that'll be the most interesting story moving forward for him, is how does he recover from this? Which, you know, right now the hype train isn't necessarily derailed, but it's not looking too good right now.
From all the O'Malley posts that I've posted on my Instagram, I haven't seen anyone. It's like 90% is Cheeto got lucky. Cheeto is this. Cheeto got this. He's lucky O'Malley didn't get injured, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like his hype will be fine whenever he does come back. It does suck that he did get as injured as he did. Obviously, it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't a banana peel. You got kicked in the leg. Your leg went dead. Then you started rolling your ankle all over the place. It happened to Henry Cejudo, but Henry Cejudo survived it, I think. And it happened to Michael Chandler, and that's how he lost his title when he was in Bellator. It happens. It happens at the highest level. You can't make excuses about it. It sucks, but hopefully he won't be out for that long. Like, a year will be a long time. You know, he is young, and this is coming off what? How long was he out the first time?
I think he was out for like a year.
Yeah, like that'd be a lot of time from away from his career. But I don't know. Like, he's gonna have to do something, because if he keeps injuring that same leg over and over again, it's just gonna be like super compromised at this point. And I don't know how you would kill it to be stronger so you can quit injuring it. But
well, and with that being said, right, where does Cheeto go from here? Do you think? You know, obviously, he's most likely going to fight
somebody. He wants someone in the top 10.
In the top 10,
for sure.
Yeah, he wants somebody in the top 10. You could do a Cheeto Cruz. Wait.
Junior. Yeah? Or Junior Sun Sal. I like the Sun Sal.
Sun Sal.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
I mean, these are huge step ups for Cheeto. Yeah. I would like a Cheeto Cruz just to see. I would like a Sun Sal as well, but I know Cruz is ready to come back in like September. He said September. Yeah. October, maybe at the latest.
Cheeto?
No. Cruz.
Cruz.
Dominic Cruz said he wanted to come back.
Or maybe Merab. Merab and him both won on the same card.
Merab's not going to be high enough for what he's looking for. I feel like is Merab higher than him? Where were they ranked at?
Cheeto.
I mean, Merab has to be top 10 now. They have to push him up to top 10. There's no way they can.
I would say, like, I could see the Merab fight, but I don't feel like that's the fight he would want. You know what I mean? Like,
I think Merab's going to be lower in the rankings. I think. I feel like he's going to be lower than the rankings than Cheeto is. But I was thinking about that, too. Check it out.
Hold on. I'm going to pull up the rankings real quick. Give me a second.
Hey, that's my job. One sec.
I didn't know if you were doing it or not.
Yeah, I'll have to.
Adele's the guy in the chair, right?
We all got chairs, bro.
Right, I'm in my casting studio.
Yeah, I see that. Where's the Bang Bros post? I don't see. You know, I just was.
But to you guys' point, even though some people are gonna say it's a fluke. Just like what TJ said just now, you know, you can give him all the credit in the world for this win, and he can pretty much, he might be able to name his fight, you know. I don't know about top five or top six guys, but he should be able to name his fight. Rafael, I think that'd be a great fight.
I'm going to tell you the top 10 right now. Number one, Marlon Moraes. Number two, Aljamain Sterling. Number three, Cody Garbrandt. Obviously, Cody Garbrandt's dropping out of flyweight, so that's doesn't really matter. Number four is Corey Sandhagen. Five is Pedro Munhoz. Six is Jose Aldo. I could see a Cheeto-Jose Aldo fight. Seven is Jimmy Rivera. Eight is I could see Jimmy Rivera's. I mean, he matches up with anyone. Like, it's going to be a fun fight. Like, Vera is in a – he's not a boring fight. He's good on the ground. He's good on the feet.
You can
match him up with anyone. Number eight is Rafael Sun Sal. Number nine is Cody Stamann, and number 10 currently is Rob Font. After John Dotson lost, Dominic Cruz did bump up to 11 at 11. But Cheeto currently isn't in the rankings, but obviously they'll have to do an update to throw him, because he's got to be in the top 15, and they don't have him in the top 15 currently. O'Malley's at 14, so either he'll be 14 or 13 probably.
And Merab was unranked,
Merab was already 15, so he'll definitely bump up.
Okay.
So Merab and Sun Sal, or Jimmy Rivera.
Yeah, I feel like so both of them are at the bottom end. So they're both gonna want to fight guys that are in the mid. So like they're gonna want to fight like the 7-8, you know, area next for both of those guys. Yeah, I know. With like both of those guys, either of those guys can fight anyone.
Oh, yeah,
that division's looking really good right now.
Everybody I named, like, if I wanted to be critical, outside of like I don't know, like Cody Stamann would be probably the lesser known guy on the list.
Uh-huh.
I feel like maybe Song Yadong as well, but I really like Song Yadong. But you know, that whole list is killers. Even if they're more named or not or less named.
Cheeto might want that one back, but I'm sure right now she's trying to get whoever, because that was his last loss was Yadong, which was like
Yadong was a beast too.
Wasn't it?
No, he lost. He lost the decision. Yeah, and it was like really bad. Like it was clearly Like, well, there's Chito's no way.
He's on a Chito's on a 6-5 win streak right now, isn't he? Six or seven now.
He was prior to that loss. So that was his last fight with that loss, unfortunately. But so
he's like 6-1 in his last seven or something. Then.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, he's got the potential, man. The dude, and I didn't realize. I guess he fought at 145, and he. Yeah, was that the case?
Maybe in his debut or something like that. Maybe. Yeah.
But I mean, he's looking good, man. Right now, he's
young too. He needs to
ride this wave. Ride this wave. Talk mad and shit.
Only 27.
He took no damage, so like he could fight again this year. Get another big paycheck.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I'm Chito again. I'm just saying this to anybody who's trying to get a fight. Try to get on that Khabib Tony card, man. It's gonna be big. You got hype right now. Try to like hop on that because you know they're gonna want to stack that card up because Khabib is on it. And for sure, like the oysters hit. The world is his oyster right now. Is that the right phrase?
There you go. Yeah,
like,
yeah, there you go.
I feel like he needs to ride this wave into his next fight. Hopefully, he can win his next fight to continue the momentum. But obviously, we'll see who he gets paired up with. If Sean O'Malley isn't out forever, what is next for him? Mm-hmm. Take away the injury.
I mean it probably like it had to be somebody in the bottom 15, right? Or
Yadong is 13 currently. He could fight Dodson. Dodson just lost to Marab.
That'd be a good vet test. That speed, bro. Dodson is. He's got that.
Yeah, I'll say this. I knew Marab was going to be a tough fight for Dodson. But his takedown defense was on point.
What? He got taken down twice out of 20 attempts.
Out of 20 times, yeah.
20 attempts he got taken down twice. Technically,
you saw the size.
I don't know if he really.
I know. There were times where he got picked up, slammed, or taken down, but because he jumped up, they didn't count him.
Right. Yeah. So he's really good at getting. Back up.
Yeah, his scramble game. Back. Yes, his scramble.
I like that Dominic Cruz pointed that out to Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan's like, he's got some of the best takedown defense there is out there. And I was like, he just got taken down. Like,
he got taken down.
I would argue
getting up immediately. Yeah, that's what he's good
at. I would argue he got taken down like about half of those 20 takedowns, but they weren't counting them because his butt hit the mat. But the one thing I like about that with John Dodson, a lot of people don't have that. If your butt hits mat, start fucking moving. There's so many people that will just give up the position. And then they're like, I guess I'm taken down now. No, you never fucking stop moving. And he never stopped moving. I loved that. Now, him in the striking department, I felt like he was a little bit more hesitant, obviously, because he knew Marab was going to be on his ass. With the wrestling, Marab also had the size advantage, so there was going to be hard for you to dart in and out to use some of that speed he has.
He also conserves energy.
Yeah.
Because we've seen John Dodson slow down towards the later rounds. Mm-hmm. He does get tired.
For sure.
But, I mean, it makes sense because he's so fast twitch. Yep. It's hard for him to continue for, you know. I don't know if he could keep Marab's pace. If he really was pushing the pace to Marab, Marab can go 5-10 rounds.
Easy.
He's not going to tire.
Easy.
He won't get tired. So Dodson, knowing that, he was kind of conserving his energy. And he was really just looking for – that left hand the whole time.
Yep.
He was looking for Marab to throw that right and then counter with that left hand immediately. That's what he was looking for the whole time.
And I mean, if you think about it too, really there was no significant, like crazy damage, right? That these guys were landing
on. Either side.
But Marab wasn't landing like a lot of shots. He was just the aggressor, was getting those takedowns, even though he wasn't able to keep
it. Well, you could even tell Marab was frustrated a bit, like the stuff he's done in every other fight that he's had. Wasn't working here. Like, he won the fight, but, like, it wasn't the way he's won all his other fights. Other guys get mauled by Marab. They can't keep the pace. They can't stop the takedowns. John Dodson wasn't that guy. Like, he definitely, even though he lost, I still feel like he looked good in his showing, for sure.
I think they both look good, right? They both
obviously.
Dodson showed you're not going to be able to keep down.
Yeah, even if you are the bigger guy.
Exactly. And Marab was able to show that, hey, I can take anybody down. I might not be able to keep this guy down, but I can put the pace and get anybody down if I really want to. That dude was wild, by the way.
20 takedown attempts in 3 rounds is ridiculous. Woo. And to look fresh coming out.
And too. Look too fresh.
Like, he's like, we got 2 more? If you got 2 more, I'll go 2 more.
I mean, you know, he's training out there with, you know, Sarah
Lund. He got it in John Dodson's head, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like,
and it made Dodson hesitate.
Frustrated in between rounds.
Yeah, it was I was liking that fight. I wish Dodson would have had more output. I wish he would have just thrown more. You know, just like you said, Alon, he was waiting for that counter, for that left, and it lost him the fight, man. He just didn't. He wasn't doing enough for him to that win. Even though no one necessarily like clipped each other, was doing heavy damage. He did more basically. So, but I'm curious to see kind of now Merab. I mean. It looks like between him and Cheeto, right? They're both, whoever they decide to fight, it's going to be an exciting fight for both of these guys.
Oh, 100%.
There's going to be a good show regardless of the fact. Who else did we have there? We have JDS, right? And Rosenstruck.
Oh, yeah. Woo! That went how I thought it would go, but I was really hoping that Junior would look better or win, I guess.
He looked good though, right? Like
he
looked good to me. It's just it seemed like when he would land in comparison to like when Rosenstruck would land, you could tell like it seemed to be affecting JDS more than it did.
Yeah.
Jody. Like it seemed like when Rosenstruck felt his power, he was just like, oh, okay, I can deal with this. It's not this manimal named Ngannou coming after me like last time. It's this guy, and I felt like he was able to kind of walk him down a little bit more and eventually catch him, man. But fuck, I felt bad because JDS, to me, he looked good, man. Looked good.
Except for that mustache, that's got to go.
That's got to go.
I like the mustache.
Right? Well, we'll see if that dude Pop Vulture, whatever, the dude that does the sketches, if he ends up knocking his off like he did to
he did that cowboy.
I expect that in a room similar to my background, not in the 70s, not in an octagon room. I think this is another issue where the size of the cage had an effect because, you know, Junior was trying to just back out and get out of the way of those wild shots, and he just, you know, boom, cage right there, he gets clipped. It's night-night. Night-night. Oh, my goodness.
And they were so tentative, too, the whole fight. Like, I didn't think it would go as many rounds as it did. I thought it was going to end first round. Like, someone was getting clipped, and then that was going to be it. But they were both so careful because, you know, with the
heavyweights,
you know one shot can be a wrap. You know, it can be over. So they were just very cautious the whole time. You know, there'd be small bursts of, you know, combos, like trying to go forward. The other guy's just trying to get out. It wasn't like Rosenstruck came at JDS and then JDS held his ground and threw two combos back. It was JDS getting out, and vice versa.
It seemed to be a good little chess match in the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's what the commentators were saying. It's like a high risk chess match right here. But yeah, JDS looked good. It's tough because like, where does he go from here? I guess he could fight another vet kind of heavyweight type of matchup, but at that point, I don't see him becoming champion because I don't think he beat Stipe. Stipe would knock him out again.
No, Stipe, Francis would knock him out again.
He can't beat Francis. I guess he could probably beat Overeem because they would be in the same kind of dilemma style of where if they get clipped, either one of them could go down.
Well, one of the reporters talking to Dana after the fight brought up a good point, you know, or question. He was like, you know, where does JDS go after this fight? He's like, he's been knocked out six out of his last 7 fights. Apparently, like, that's what he said. I was like, that's not good. He's like, at this point, is this like a Chuck Liddell situation? Like, are you going to sit down with him, you know, like you did with Chuck and tell him, like, you know, hey, you know, and Dana basically just kind of said, like, well, he's like, I'm going to let him, you know, do his thing. I'm not going to, like, go after him right now and, like,
tell him to retire
or something. He's like, when Tuesday comes down, when the matchmakers sit down, we'll see what out there we could even do for JDS, and then we'll talk to him and see what he wants to do.
If JDS was one of like Dana's boys, like Chuck was one of Dana's guys, obviously he maybe would have a sit down with him. But Junior's more of a separate, you know, thing.
Case. I mean, I think like DC said, right? He said it best. If I can't compete for championships, what are you competing? If he's competing for a paycheck, an Overeem JDS fight, of course, will be put on a card and people will watch it. Yeah. For the sheer veteran, you know, veteranship.
Ooh, both you could do JDS and Alexander Gustafsson.
That too, you know. I mean, I think at this point, we all know he's not. It's not going to be anything towards a title. It's not. He's not going to jump into the top. He's not fighting any of these guys contending. It would be for, you know, to get to
continue
that and continue to fight, right? Like similar to maybe like a Jim Miller, right? We all know Jim Miller is not going to be competing for any sort of titles anytime soon. But, you know, do you still want to fight? Do you still want to make a living doing this? Hey, if you do, if you're willing to put your life on the line, granted, the difference, again, like Alon mentioned, Jim Miller isn't getting out there getting knocked the fuck out. JDS, unfortunately, has. So
what a great fight that was, though. I enjoy that.
You know, speaking of, right, Jim Miller, you know, I think with last night's fight, he officially has the most fights in the UFC. He's gone, I think, 36 times. 30, I think
32?
I thought it was 36 or 35.
Okay.
Which is crazy. That's so many fights.
Yeah.
I mean, just in the UFC, my guy, that's dumb. Like, yeah. Usually, like, you see an Overeem, you see some of these other guys that fought another you know, for other companies,
organizations,
yeah. And Jim Miller's been staying heavy, fucking heavy with the UFC, man. Which, like, hey, good for him. He looked pretty good, you know. He still looked pretty good. Unfortunately,
he didn't look terrible. Yeah, the other guy just outworked him.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about his fight is like with sometimes when you see wrestlers or, you know, jiu-jitsu specialists, sometimes it could be a turnoff to like the casual fan because it's like, oh, I don't want to see these guys just on the ground or whatever. But they were nonstop countering each other. It was a breath of fresh air to see kind of the full MMA standard kind of put on display for these guys on the prelims. I enjoyed this fight. I don't know if I enjoyed it the most out of any of the other fights. DC and Stipe, that was a great fight. But just from a technical standpoint and coming from the casual point of view, I just enjoyed watching this fight.
Well, it was a main event, right? Quote unquote, for the prelims for a reason, right? They made sure that was going to be the last fight that you could watch on ESPN, I think, for a reason, which, you know, good matchmaking on their end to have that there. I think right now, which was the other fight? Herbert, right? Herbert and and Pineda?
Brian's brother. Yeah.
You know, shout out to Pineda coming back and showing he still got it. He can still fuck around and get these dubs right now.
Right.
27 pounds in 6 days. And then Herbert missed weight by 3.5 pounds.
That's ridiculous.
So he got 20% of that purse, and he got his bonus, and he got his monies.
Yep.
Whew. I mean, he just showed, man. He showed his experience in there, man. He showed experience in the cage. You know, I kind of heard, I think Josh Thompson was maybe? Yeah, I think he was talking about how he thinks that they might have maybe, they might be kind of fast-tracking Herbert a little bit because of his age, because I think he is like 32.
I think because of Gilbert, too, though.
That for sure. And the fact that it's kind of the combo, right? The fact that your brother is Gilbert and the fact that you are in your early 30s, you know, they want to get probably the best of what they can from you.
And he finished his last two fights.
I wouldn't even consider Pineda?
I
wouldn't consider that with a fast track fight, yeah. But it don't matter now because
he got KO'd.
Was Pineda the one that had, or was that Cheeto? Maybe I'm confusing them. Somebody had 100% finish rate. I think that was Pineda. Let me see. I took some notes down. I don't know why I'm not looking at it. Let me see here. But there was somebody, one of the fighters there had an interesting stat, which was that they had never been.
They'd only finished their wins?
Cheeto had never been finished. That was his. But there was somebody else that had 100% whenever they won, they always finished their fight. They know
that all think it could have been Cheeto too.
That was Cheeto too.
I think so.
What about Rozenstruik too? Probably.
Hmm.
I don't feel like Rozenstruik ain't going in that decision the way he be doing.
Right? Damn, man. I'm trying to see. Man, maybe I'm wondering who it was.
I'm going to say it was either, maybe it was Cheeto, but maybe it was also Rozenstruik.
It might have been Cheeto.
It could have been Cheeto.
But either way, I mean, it's a good win for Pineda, right? It gets him in the...
Yeah, he gets to take the hype that Herbert had going into his fights. One of the fights I want to talk about was a Werner Jandiroba beating Felice Herrig via armbar. Woo! In the first round. That shit was... Did we lose a line?
No, did we? Oh.
He just got crazy eyes.
Speaking of crazy eyes, this fight is...
Chill out.
May not be able to look at you straight, but when it comes to just dominating you from start to finish, that, oh my goodness.
When I saw that Werner Jandiroba was fighting Felice Herrig, I was like, Verna is going to mess her up. I've watched her through
Invicta.
She's a beast. Obviously, you know, she has her own weaknesses as well, but overall, like, girl, she's a monster on the ground. She has great cardio, great wrestling, great takedowns, great jiu-jitsu, clearly. I knew that was going to be a problem. When I saw, I didn't know it was going to go down like that, but man, she looked great.
She didn't give Herrig a chance to.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah,
and she fights 125 strawweight.
What is that?
115.
115,
I think.
Yeah, I think Felice is in a strawweight, is she?
I think it was 115.
Yeah, maybe strawweight. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because they did the house at strawweight. Yeah,
that sucks for her to come off. You know, a 2-year layoff, and then get armbarred and, like, you know.
Well, they gave her, like, the worst matchup she could have coming in a 2-year layoff. Honestly. But if you want to fight, you know.
They don't like Felice, so they never really liked her because she's talked about the UFC, you know,
they don't
a lot.
Promote her.
Oh, has she?
The way they do it, yeah.
Ooh. Every time that happens, every time someone opens up their mouth, Dana's like, okay, cool, bro. I'm going to go ahead and style you up with somebody I know is going to be rough for you, you know?
Fight this girl. Here you go.
Right?
So, what do y'all think she goes next? Because, you know, I think it was an impressive showing for her. Do you give her Angela Hill, or where are we going with, I can't even pronounce her name.
Werner Jandiroba.
Yeah, yep. Where are we going with her?
If we're fast.
I thought Tisha Torres would be a good fight.
Ooh, I would love Tisha Torres. Tisha Torres is a good, you know, wrestler as well. Okay, striking. She doesn't really get submitted.
She doesn't really get finished in general.
Finished ever, yeah, because she's so tactical with how she fights. Tisha Torres actually sounds perfect, honestly. I can't think of anybody else.
Is she ranked?
I want to say she's...
She is not.
Not ranked anymore.
Okay. Wait, do you think she's right outside the top 15 probably, though?
Yeah, she's got to be right there.
Yeah, she's 16-1. Like,
she just won her last fight, too.
Okay.
Yeah, you just embarrassed your number 15 fighter. I mean, yeah, she should be up there.
So speaking of the women's fighters, sorry, is kind of off UFC now because she decided to sign with bare knuckle. What is everybody's take on Paige VanZant deciding to go the alternate route of not signing with Bellator or 1FC or re-signing with UFC, but went with the bare knuckle fighting championship?
She said she just wants to, like, you know, she's like, people just see me as a
shed the stigma.
You know, yeah, like, she's like just a pretty girl that doesn't want to get her face scarred up and whatnot. Yeah. Like, so I did this to, like, show that I'm not worried about that type of stuff. But it's like, dude,
that's not the reason to do it, though.
You're doing the opposite of everybody says, like, don't listen to what other people say. Just do you.
Yeah.
And she's doing the complete opposite. She's going out there to go get scarred up in her face just to prove that she's not, like, a sissy, which obviously we've seen her do some crazy shit in fights. Like, she's been bleeding. She's,
yeah, she's tough.
Broken arm.
For
like,
sure.
She's gangster. Like, yeah. She's not. She,
we don't need to prove tough. Anything. Yeah.
No, there's nothing to prove.
I think honestly that might have just been maybe a little bit of lip service. I think she does have that stigma, but let's face it, they paid the most. What? No one else was going to pay her, and that's why she decided to go with it. That was kind of what I got from it.
Money was the root of this whole issue to begin with, she went with whoever was going to pay her the most, and this was the best bet for her. Honestly, like, she got more pop out of this, I promise you, than she would have got if she signed with Bellator or 1FC.
Right.
That's just a fact.
It's, you know what's crazy, though? Is like, I think Bisping was saying, he was like, yo, you know, clearly she did it. She's making the most money, right, with them. Yeah. But she's like, she could have made just as much or maybe even more if she went to a Bellator or 1FC, but she would have had to earn it. That's the thing is, she would have had to earn it. You know what I'm saying?
She wanted to get paid today. That's the key. I need to see who's paying me the most. And she's getting multi-million on a multi-fight contract. So I'm going to say, this is just my estimate. I'm going to say at least 2 to 3 million for at least 2 to 3 fights. Because if it's multi-fight and multi-million, I'm going to say it's at least 2 to 3 million for 2 or 3 fights. Oof. And that's, and
2 to 3, I wonder if it's more.
I'm saying that that's like a low end estimation.
Yeah.
Which is still more than she would have got signing with anyone else. And and even UFC would have paid her that.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That being said, I know my girl Christine Ferreira. She's a former bare knuckle boxing champion at BKFC. She just lost her title, I believe, in her last fight. By decision. I know she polled to see who would want to see her fight her. And I'm going to tell you right now, like, it's different over there. Like, I know that Paige is tough, but, like, when it's just bare knuckle boxing, you got to be a dog. Like, it's the damage they take is
terrible
to the face. Like, it's just terrible. And I don't.
Striking.
Yes, I don't know.
There's a reason why bare knuckle hadn't existed for such
until
a long,
recently again. Yeah, right. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't think it was. I think it was the best move for her if she just wanted to get paid. But
financially, that's the only thing.
And if they match her up right, obviously, you know, she'll have a better chance. Because I've seen some other girls that have boxed over there as well. That would be fine for a Paige VanZant level of striking intro into bare knuckle boxing type of match. Mm-hmm. That being said, when she gets to the girls that are really, you know, the top, that are the champions, they are going to be a rougher matchup.
Which to me, it's like, right, that's what she was going to face anywhere, right? Yeah. I mean, depending on how much she got paid. So I think Bellator, I don't know, my history of watching Bellator isn't as much as like UFC, but right. I feel like Bellator, if she would have signed with somebody like Bellator, who might not have given her that much money, they might have kind of stepped her up progressively, right? And maybe not giving her the biggest name.
She
right
got paid that. More than like a normal person for sure.
Exactly, you know, but would have gotten a fight that maybe would have given her more of a chance, you know? Bare knuckle, I mean, I haven't really seen any of their fighters like that, but I can't imagine somebody like her who isn't known for her striking, I feel like, is going into a place that's literally all striking. And yeah, you might get some scrubs in the beginning, but even then it's bare knuckle. So who's to say you just get caught once and it's a wrap for you? You have no, there's no like emergency, break in case of emergency. Like, you can't take them down. You can't do anything else. You're just going to have to stand there. Yeah. And
you're not going to be able to switch, kick your way out of it.
And the best part to me is, you know, she talks about the stigma of being the pretty girl that doesn't want to, you know, be made to look like a sissy, whatever the case is, right? Basically saying her looks, she wants to be known for more than just her looks, essentially. Yeah. But I promise you, the reason why Bare Knuckle signed her is because of the look that she brings that she's a hottie who happens to fight, you know?
I said it last time. She has such a compelling story of what she's been through. It's like, you know, work with your story. Like, you have, you know, you've taken something tragic and you're helping other people with it. Like, that's your bread and butter. That's your moneymaker. You don't need to be out here trying to prove
your dog.
That you could strike with these monsters like that. Yeah. I think she's just gonna get hurt. And I think, yes, she's making her money right now, but I think in the long run, you know, she might regret this decision. But
well, it's gonna affect her Instagram and social media persona as well. Because, I mean, if she's doing, like, her modeling stuff or whatever she's doing, Dancing with the Stars and whatnot, you can't do all that stuff with, like, giant gashes on your face. Like, that's not what they want. They want Paige with her nice face. And that's what makes that she makes more money on social media than she did from UFC. That is your moneymaker, and now you're gonna go possibly ruin that.
But now she makes more money bare knuckle boxing than she probably does from doing all that stuff.
But maybe bare knuckle boxing is only gonna be a short period of time.
Right, right.
She can do her social media for years and years, you know, to go. I mean, she's not old.
I think it's not in her head. I think in her head she wants to try to capitalize. Like, first off, she wants to be seen as a fighter. No one's ever looked at Paige VanZant. Like, oh, it's the fighter Paige VanZant. No, you look at Paige VanZant, you're like, oh, that's that pretty girl who fights. And that sucks. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not her fault. She looks the way she looks and stuff like that. And, you know, she's been in there with, you know, some of the best, you know, girls in the weight class. And she, you know, she can clearly, she can fight decently enough, no matter how you look at it. Even if you don't think she could be world champion or whatever. She was in there with some of the, you know, best girls, and she's still her own with some of them. I don't think I think for her, she wants to be seen as a fighter. She's trying to use this bare knuckle thing so where people will stop calling her, hey, you're just this pretty girl that fights. You're a real, you know, scrappy person. And I think even after the bare knuckle thing, she'll probably, that's when she would go to like a Bellator or a ONE Championship, because I don't think she would be done because she is so young. And outside of if she decided she wanted to have a family. Something like that. But it's a weird thing to want to have people to look at you a certain way, even if you are that already. You know what I mean? Like, you're a fighter. You're clearly a fighter. Who do you want to think you're a fighter? Like, we all know that you're a fighter. Like, you don't have to go bare knuckle box to prove anything to anyone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, hopefully, but, you know, with all this being said, hopefully she's successful, right? Hopefully she shows everybody that she can compete over there, and that, you know, and that she can win over there. But it's just like, fuck, man, out of all the organizations to pick from, you know, that's probably the
this is the biggest one, the biggest thing she could have done, though.
Well, because a lot of times, right, we see these, the people that have competed in that in bare knuckle have been kind of people that are on the tail end of their career, clearly. Yeah. So we'll see what ends up happening with that, right? 253 coming up next month. We got Izzy and Paula Costa, Mr. Juicy Juice, Ricky Martin himself, which is the biggest card is dry. Oh, sorry, don't hunt me down. What were we saying?
That card is dry.
Oh, it's dry? I haven't seen the rest of the card,
bro. I just saw the main card last night, and it was not it.
No, give it to me.
Hold on. I gotta pull it back up.
Oh man.
I mean, that's a big fight. So that's probably, they know that as long as they stamp the main event, you know, everybody's gonna watch regardless of how good the card is.
Right. It's gotta be.
Yeah, but like, I feel like that's gonna, like, it's a pay per view, obviously. Yeah. So like, it's gonna affect the numbers with how dry that
Who's the co-main?
Pacquiao France and Brandon Royval.
Why is my numbers not
Royval?
Brandon Royval.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if Kaikar France should be a co-main right now. I mean, isn't he coming off a loss?
Or he has a loss.
And then he came back and won one.
I think it's because he's close to a title shot, and they need to book as many, because he's a flyweight, right?
You think Kai's close to a title shot?
Is Kai a flyweight?
Yeah, but he's only on a one-fight win streak. Or
that's enough. They need. With Benavidez done, they need any. They were about to give Joanne Calderwood a title fight off of a one fight win streak versus Valentina Shevchenko. They will 100% give a title shot to Kaikar France, especially because he's with that Izzy's team side kind of thing too. And now that they have Izzy and Volkanovski, they're pushing that kind of duo thing.
Well, and I mean, it goes to show, right? They brought Cody in because they wanted a name to kind of hype up that division too, right?
Yeah.
So. Maybe at this point, yeah, maybe they're just desperate. Like, hey, fuck it, we'll get whoever we can.
I have the announced bouts, but they're not in order.
Okay.
All right, so they have, Lindell, do you still have the main event pulled up?
Yeah.
Give me the main card. and then okay. I'll give you the rest of the fights.
So Izzy and the Brazilian model dude, Paul.
Yeah.
Kakar France, Brandon Rival, Claude Gadea, and
Claude Yonan.
And Hakeem Dawodu.
He's legit versus Khabib's boy.
Why can't these people just have normal names?
Zubaira Tukov. He was with Khabib in the brawl with Conor and them.
That's on ESPN right now.
So the rest of the card is Shamil Abdurahimov versus Cyril Gane. I can't remember who Cyril Gane is. Casey Kinney versus
Cyril Gane is that big French.
Kickboxer.
Heavyweight. I don't know if he was a kickboxer, but he finished that dude with the heel hook in the last 5 seconds of the fight.
Ooh.
He's a
beast. Okay, so Shamil Abdurahimov and Cyril Gane, Casey Kinney and Haile Alateng. That's a tough one. Jordan Espinoza, David Duvarik. Okay. Now take this back. There are enough names on here to where I could see it as a decent card. Randy Marcos, Mackenzie Dern, Donald Cerrone, and Nico Price.
I'm seeing that. Actually, because it's not on ESPN, but it's on this other.
It was announced. It was verbally agreed to yesterday. Johnny Walker and Ryan Spann. So it's I take it back. It's not like that. They have a nice little mixture of vets. Older prospect type of guys, vet women and vet guys. So I just wish the way they have the main card set right now, it's not it. Like Cowboy should be on the main card for sure.
Yeah, Cowboy and Johnny.
I would be okay with making Johnny Walker the prelims main event. But Cowboy 100% should be on the main card. The fact that he's not it. And maybe that's not the official final lineup either, as well.
They'll move it around for sure.
Obviously, a subject. I just know the main card came out last night during the pay-per-view, and that was what the lineup was.
It looks like they updated it today because it does have Cerrone.
Yesterday, they didn't have him on there. That's good, though.
That should be the co-co main. Yeah. Price and Donald Cerrone, that should be the co-co main.
That should be the co-main, honestly.
I would put a co-main for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who else is on there that I. Maybe they do the. No. I would do Cowboy as the co-main. He's notable enough, and no matter what he's at with wins and losses, he's always, you know, and him versus Nico Price is just a fucking ridiculous fight.
It's gonna be war, baby.
Yeah.
Who do we think? Who do we think takes it between Paulo and Izzy?
Izzy.
I'm taking Paulo Costa as well.
Just sheer brute strength is just going to overwhelm him.
I think he walks him down. Paulo doesn't hunt head as much as people think he does. He will work the body. I think he walks him down. I think he hits him to the body when he thinks that, you know, because Izzy's going to slip every time because he's going to want to get out of there. He's going to hit him to the body over and over again just to slow him down, and eventually I think he'll catch him. Obviously, it could go the completely other way, and Izzy could just point fight him and even finish him, you know, with something. If anything, I think if Izzy finished him, it'd be with like a 1-2 head kick or something like that. Something at range, because I don't think he'd want to stay in the pocket with him. But I didn't think he would stay in the pocket with Robert Whittaker either, and he knocked him the fuck out. So,
Robert Whittaker is in Paulo Costa, though. Yeah, I was going to say, you saw, granted, Robert Whittaker was able to do that to Yoel, you know, right? Had him rock.
Exactly.
And Paulo did too. But Paulo, I just feel like, first off, his head is just massive with his body. Like,
his whole body is massive.
But you look like Yoel, right? Yoel's head is small, but his neck, he's got no neck. So
he's a pit bull.
It's stationary. Yeah, his head ain't going nowhere, right? But Paulo just overall is huge, and he's got a fucking massive head. And I think you're right. I think it's going to take a combo and a something hard, like a leg kick. I mean, a head kick that's going to fucking drop Paulo. Maybe if he catches him on the chin, just catches the right angle, because that's the one, obviously, you know, the precision. I love what he said, but he says, you know, a lot of people
throwing hopes.
Th- throwing hope, but I aim and spray.
Aim and fire, I think.
Aim and fire, some shit like that.
Something like that.
And that is his thing. He's the precision. He's the scalpel, where this guy's a blunt hammer. So, I take Izzy just for the fact that I think if he can beat Paulo, I don't know honestly who else he would need to. I mean, maybe the rematch with Robert, but I think it just solidifies him more to give him a better chance to possibly fight John Jones, even though I think John Jones would beat him. I think John Jones beats him, especially if he's coming up to 205. But it just the fight itself, I would love to just be able to see that fight. And I think
Jared Cannonier gets that next shot.
They're doing Robert and Jared versus each other. They probably do them on the same card, to be honest, because it makes more sense.
I think Jared wins that fight, and then he fights for the belt next.
I think Jared beats Robert as well.
Yeah.
Don't they fight the soon? Do they fight on a fight night, or are they fighting on a pay-per-view?
It'll probably be a fight night, but I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
I wasn't sure. I thought they had set it up for maybe
a headline. They could headline a fight night with it.
It has to be. There's no way.
Right. I'm just saying, they could either headline a fight night with it or throw him on the main card or something else. If I was going to throw him on a main card, I would throw him on the same card with Izzy because it has its own storyline.
I love when they do that, by the way.
Yeah, that's the best division. To me, that's the best way to do stuff like that, especially when you're trying to set up contenders for somebody else. That way I don't have to figure out who's next for you. I just watch the guy fight the guy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Has Izzy fought during this no crowd era? Is this his first fight in front of no fans?
I think
when you take away all of the additional adrenaline where he can just kind of focus in and zero in, I think we might see the best Izzy we've ever seen. I think he's going to be...
He'll hit his corner completely.
I think he's going to be so laser focused and so just like zeroed in on what he needs to do with Costa. I think Costa's going to chase him the entire fight, and I think Izzy's just going to piece him from start to finish. I can't imagine, if this is a body contest, Costa wins. He beats everybody. I wish I looked like that dude. But I think we're going to be surprised with Izzy's size comparison to him. And I think Izzy's just going to kind of, I don't think it's going to be a stick and move like running away from him. I think he might brutalize him. I just see it.
The variety of kicks. I'm sorry.
I was going to say just the variety of techniques that Izzy throws is just, it's hard to scout. And I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Costa outside of when he fought Romero, but I don't see it happening that way, but I see Izzy. I don't want to say easy, but I see Izzy winning 4-1 if it goes to points.
I'm curious to see the. Go ahead, Tony. No, go ahead.
If he got scared off by one Yoel strike, or two Yoel strikes, because you only hit him like three times that whole fight. And the first time he hit him, he was like, "Oh, fuck that shit. I'm staying at range and I'm leg kicking." If he got scared off by one strike from Yoel, Paulo Costa went in there and got dogged down with Yoel. They didn't give a fuck. They was over here trying to take each other's heads off. If he can do that with Yoel, I think that he's definitely not going to be too fearful of anything Izzy would hit him with. Now, obviously, Izzy's going to be faster, but whether or not he can hit him hard enough to scare him off will be the bigger deal. Because if I'm backing you down, and then you throw something at me to try to like thwart me from pressuring you, I eat that shit. That shit don't mean nothing to me. Benavidez, Figueiredo. Benavidez was swinging at Figueiredo. Figueiredo didn't care shit about what Benavidez threw at him. He knew that the power was on his side. He knew that the other guy wasn't going to hit him with nothing. So he just walked him down. So if it goes something like that, to where if I can just keep walking you down through all your shit, regardless of all the like flashy shit you would do, I could see Costa getting in close and then clipping him and knocking him out.
Uh-huh. Yep, I agree. I mean, I think that's what I was going to mention. I think we'll see how Costa reacts to getting hit, because I think that's going to be the key. I think it's going to take a lot of volume, a lot of counterpunching from Izzy to put him out, and it's going to see, can we see, Paulo just take a step back or even just hesitate as he's coming in, because we already know that was the best.
Boy, don't back down.
Yeah, Dana already said he's like when after the Yoel fight and Nizzy's like it's not gonna be even close to this fight. This shit's gonna be fucking nuclear when it comes to them fights.
Paulo Costa is like the 185 version of John Lineker. He's gonna walk forward.
He doesn't care.
Heavy boxing, body shots. He's gonna throw it all. He's gonna throw the fucking sink at him.
Also, black belt in jiu-jitsu. Not that it matters, but he is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Maybe he try to take him down too. Who knows?
I mean, listen, Uriah Hall, you know, was long considered probably what maybe Izzy was supposed to be, right?
Right,
you know,
right. He's the most comparable matchup you could have.
Right? Amazing striking. Obviously older, but and he was able to piece him up in that fight. But it's Paula did not give one fuck, bro. He just said, okay, that's cool, man. I'm just going to keep coming at you.
I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to walk you down like the Terminator.
And like you mentioned, the body. He hammered his body. The moment his back was on that fence, it was a wrap for you. Yeah. So, man, it's going to be a fucking great fight, man. Either way, it's going to be a great fight. What else do we have? Is that it? I mean, I think that's all that's been announced so far. I think Khabib's like whole family is fighting on his card.
No, seriously, it's like he's got like two or three cousins on there. Like legit, like
fighting on that card. Is your last name to Margamedov? Cool. Do you want to fight? I don't fight. Well, do you want to, though?
It feels like what I've seen. Like, they're trying to make it a Russia card, like, straight up.
For sure. For sure. Like, they do with, like, the Brazilian cards and stuff like
that. Right, right, right. But then maybe it's like a Khabib Russia. Like, we might not be able to go to Russia, but we're about to fucking stack this shit with nothing. Right?
So, Alon, if you end up fighting on that card, no, you'll probably be fighting a Russian. I chance your fight. If you end up coming back in October, you'll be fighting some risky.
Tony and I talked about that earlier.
We were just talking about that. With a Russian,
I'm just putting my wrestling shoes on for the rest of camp. Yeah. And I'm not doing anything other than wrestling. That's it. 100% wrestling the entire camp.
Yo, shout out to your wrestling coach, too, man. I think
Coach Mamu Goma.
Mamu deserves to be, like, one of the best in the business. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
He is, man. He is. He really is. Greco-style wrestling. He was on the Egyptian world team over in Egypt. So, I mean, Mahmoud's legit, and that's where a lot of my wrestling base comes from.
Listening to him talk to Alon, even though I don't know all the terminologies, like, I felt like I could understand exactly what he was trying to describe, and I was like, yo. You told me Mahmoud was good, but, like, that, he's legit good. And then watching this kid go up against some of these wrestlers, and just watching him just basically take away anything that they wanted to do, I'm like, all right, that Mamba's the real deal. Mamba's the real deal. All
right. Shout out to your boy, and I think we're done, boys. I think we've covered everything that we can so far. Alon, let them know where they can find you on IG, Twitch, and all the rest of the platforms.
You can find me on Mighty Cruz 2 on Twitch. You know, I'll be playing with Lindell and Tony, and hopefully Josh will jump in one day. And then
he just started playing again.
So I usually Twitch stream, but right now my bandwidth currently in the shed doesn't allow for that.
And got that time, son.
And you can find me at Alon Cruz on all social media, ALONCRUZ, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, LinkedIn. It's all there.
Yes, sir. Lindell, of course, he's saying Ghost Protocol. He's not fucking with any social media. Better than the rest of us. Of course, we got Tony Clark, MMA. You already know. Papa Josh, J Kidder 3000. Two gloves and a dub. First episode down, fellas. Appreciate y'all for being here. Mikey, we miss you.
Thanks for having
Lindell,
us.
He said, go fuck yourself. But we hope to have you next week. And lifers, y'all tune in. I did forget to mention, I believe, actually, and this is my bad. I'm fucking up. Liferspodcast.com. Make sure you go check out the website. There's plenty of other podcasts we have on there, ranging from fitness to the Miami Heat, because some of the other lifers out there, they come from the 305, so obviously they rep the Heat heavy. From fantasy football to also coaching, we got a little bit of it all. We got some merch on there. I'm working on trying to get our merch and our logo. I shouldn't have, you know, I got one of my good friends from a long time ago that's working on it. You know how that works, Puerto Rican cousins. You're like, hey, man, you're going to get that done in like a couple days, and it ends up being a couple weeks. But if you're going to get some merch on the website, use two gloves as a promo code. You get 10% off. And yeah, man, with that being said, we out of here. Peace.
Deuces.
Deuces.